You're listening to the Cross Brand Sunday Morning Service on HLE Radio. Now here is Pastor Mike Morrow with today's message.
You know you can learn a lot from a kid, right? You ready for some wisdom? All right. So Matthew's age 12. If you want something expensive, you should ask your grandparents. Not funny. Matt's age 11. He says, my little brother's dirty diapers are worse than eating liver. Joel, age 12, you should never pick on your sister when she has a baseball bat in her hands. I'm sorry, that is funny. I've seen it. Chris, little old kid, he said, you can't hide mashed potatoes in your hat. And with one kid, his name is Patrick, really young, he said, it's not a very good idea to drink a 2-liter Coke before going to bed. Patrick, age 10, you can never trust a dog to watch your food. And Tamara, and usually females are smarter than boys at this age, she's 13, she said, you should never stick your tongue to a car bumper in winter. Oh, but this is going to be a good one. Jeannie, little kid, age 7, she says this, the best place to be when you're sad is in your grandmother's lap. That's right, isn't it? Yeah. Lots of wisdom from the kids. I'm going to take you down a little different path this morning before I start my series next week. Matthew chapter 19. Now, there's another situation, so don't get it confused with the other one where Jesus is interacting on the same topic of children. But I thought it was appropriate, and I haven't talked to you guys about the kid thing in a long time. But in Matthew chapter 19, there's a great story. The backstory is teachers. College teachers, high school teachers, junior high, elementary. If you're in one of those categories, just clap real quick. Okay, lots of teachers here. Have you ever felt so good about a lesson or a lecture, and you get to the end, and you ask, are there any questions? And a kid goes, is this going to be on the test? Do we have to know this? Right, Sadie? I mean, you know, we just get all these. Well, it happened to Jesus all the time. And so he is teaching about one of the most controversial subjects in the New Testament is on divorce. And I know a lot of you understand the controversy behind that because you've got 4 or 5 practice wives. And Jesus is, I mean, and it's tedious. And the Pharisees, you know, they were attorneys, the Jewish attorneys, kind of preacherish. But they were always trying to trap him on the law of Moses. So Jesus is standing up there talking about divorce, and all this, and the disciples are around him. You know, Jesus didn't have no security. And the one thing you need security from is a mad mama. Trust me. And I don't know if these mamas are mad, but these people begin to bring their children to Jesus. And I'm assuming kids then were like kids now. They're going to do what they do. They're going to stick their finger in their nose. One of them might decide he needs to go TT. I pulled up to a birthday party last week. My grandson is standing on the front porch. There's people all around. He had to go. He just had to go. Thank God he was number one. But in all the kids' innocence, the parents brought these kids. And let me show you the interaction. Matthew chapter 19. Then little children were brought to Jesus. Now, this is in the middle of his lecture, for him to place his hands on them and pray. But the disciples rebuked them. You know what that means in Texas? They got on to them. They gave them a talking to. And Jesus said, leave these kids alone. Don't try to keep them from coming to me, because the kingdom of heaven belongs to such as these. And guys, if you need I hate to use the word dumb down, but I have to dumb things down sometimes for me to understand them. But when you see the word kingdom of heaven, it essentially means Christianity. Christianity now and Christianity in eternity. All right? He says, look, the kingdom of heaven, this whole Christianity thing, faith, heaven, it belongs to such as these. People like these kids. And so after placing his hands on him, he went from there. Now, all I want to do is extract about 4 things. You're not going to get a deep theological lesson this morning. Hopefully we can learn some practical stuff. But I thought in the backdrop of what you saw, I literally had, what was it? How many kids did we dedicate? 8, 10, maybe 50. I don't know. We have a visual aid. I love visual aids. That's just one of my learning styles. If you're going to try to teach me something, then show it to me. But just think about all these kids that were up here this morning in the backdrop of this lesson that Jesus is teaching us. And I think it'll make a little better sense this morning. Now, there's about four aspects of this. Number one, let's take a look at the parents. Now, a lot of these, scripture says children. So they could have been infants, could have been all the way up to 12 years old. We're not really sure, but I do know this. They had heard about Jesus, these parents. They had heard about his miracles. They had heard about his teaching. They knew he was different because they couldn't get this same power and authority from the existing religious leadership. And so they wanted his touch. They wanted his prayers. I'm not sure about the specifics, but I do know two things. Number one, it's inevitable that they wanted Christ to bless their kids. And there's not one parent in this room, not one single grandparent in this room that doesn't want that. Now, I didn't mean to go Pentecostal or charismatic last night at the rodeo. I may have a little bit. And I kid all the time, you know, I am raising a barrel racer. And I'm telling you, ain't that right, honey? We held our breath during the entire run last night. And of course, my thing and the only redemption, which she may turn out okay now, is she is roping too. She may have a future. In other words, she may not be crazier than run over a dog. And so she reached out there, and you know what I did? It's terrible. I know it's kind of rotten. I can't help it. It's my granddaughter. It's my only granddaughter. It's my flower. It's a little rose. I had boots made with a lily and a rose engraved in the tops of them. I like her. And she's not spoiled. We don't give her a lot. She works. But I'm telling you, Colin, when she came out of that box last night, I went completely charismatic, Pentecostal, asking Jesus to come down, find favor. Lord Jesus, rebuke all of those interruptions in that lariat rope. Let her catch. And she did. You bet. What parent don't do that? If you're a good mama or a good daddy, even if you're borderline, you still want God's blessings on your kids. You want them to succeed. I think the other reason they brought those kids up there is, I want to tell you something. Living in this culture is dangerous. You've got to be aware when you go into a restaurant, when you go into the dang Walmart. God help you if you have to. We understand situational awareness, but I told them Wednesday night, I'm teaching on demons down there at 6 o'clock. At C316, but I told him the other night, I said, look, you realize there needs to be an added level and an added dimension to your situational awareness, which needs to involve spiritual warfare, spiritual issues, people that have demonic problems, all right? And I know some of you don't want to talk about that, but it's the truth. It's in scripture. Jesus recognized them. So I think these parents knew living in that culture, it was a dark time. The New Testament was dark. It was a dark time. One of the reasons was Rome was in charge. It was a godless society. And so these parents knew that their kids needed protection from the Lord. And what better way to get that than to meet Jesus himself? Let him touch them. Let him bless them. They wanted protection. I think that's why the parents did that. They just interrupted that unbelievably complicated lesson Jesus was teaching that day on divorce. But it's not just the parents that we need to look at and learn something from. It's the disciples. The closest thing to a bodyguard or a body man that Jesus had was the disciples. And he is teaching, and all of these guys, these women, and possibly the fathers brought these kids and interrupted. And it absolutely must have went all over the disciples. Now, I don't know how many of the disciples had kiddos. Probably all of them, most of them. But have you noticed some people don't like kids? I didn't like kids until I had them. I mean, who would like something that has diapers say up to 20 pounds I had some kids that did about 30 in theirs. I told, this is only the second time in my life I've told this story that I'm about to tell you. So I got a lot of friends in the cell barn industry. I told this story a few years ago, and everybody that listens to me on 104.1, you know who you are, called me the next week and told me the name of the guy I was talking about. So we're going to try this again some 10 years later. He hasn't owned the barn in a while, but here's what happened. I saw it with my eyes. I'm sitting right there on the second row trying to buy a few old cows. And there was a barn employee, a cell barn employee, that brought his kid up there. Now, I don't know how many Skittles that kid had had that day, and sweet tea, and Cokes, and straight sugar. I don't know how many he'd had. I know the kid was not using drugs, but he behaved like a grown man on drugs. The problem is he had a punching stick. You know what that is? It's just something you punch cattle with to get them to move. And during the middle of the sale, this kid would run and take that stick and run down the bars. This went on for about an hour. And we were all looking at the dad who's standing right there. I mean, is he okay? Dad's just laughing. I'm so proud of him. Okay. Then you need to be institutionalized. And anyhow, it got real quiet. And the kid stopped for just a minute. And the owner of that cell barn who stood right there, the kid was right beside him. Boom, 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 boom. Boom, 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 boom. Boom, 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 boom. And my buddy that owned the barn, he just turned around, and he's real shy, but he just turned around to the audience and says, "You guys know I don't like kids, but I sure don't like kids with sticks." Okay, you 104.1 people, just start calling me. Precious memories. I don't know. I just know that this. And Jesus kind of turns that rebuke just a little bit. And he was good at this. And he was kind about it. The disciples rebuked them, the parents and kids, the whole deal. Jesus blessed the kids. The problem there was not the kids. It was in the perspective. Because he is going to take that and he is going to run with it. He is going to give an analogy. He's going to give a life lesson. He's going to talk about the kingdom. In other words, Christianity, eternity. He's going to teach about those babies. Let me talk to you about the Savior. This is the third aspect of this. He said, let them come. Jesus said, let them come. I told you this wasn't going to be very deep today, but he said, let them come on. He said, everybody's welcome. Don't hinder them. I guess I'm one of the most blessed pastors in the world because of the way we do ministry. We've got teams. And so I like being out with people, even rough people. And so when my boys were little bitty, Cletus wasn't even born yet. I guess Micah was, I don't know, four, maybe three. Macaulay was little old bitty. And we were at the Emory Cell Barn. This seems to be Cell Barn Day. I don't know. But we were at the Emory Cell Barn. And, of course, you know, trust me, I've had a lot of experience with the kids and Skittles at cell barns. So there comes a point where you're going, well, they're fixing to chew the arm off the chair if I don't take them for a walk. All right? And so I took my boys for a walk. And I got distracted. I was looking at some cattle that was fixing to go in the ring. Micah and Macaulay were playing. And I heard the word, "Dad, can we play in the dirt pile?" But I was busy. I was doing break evens over there when my back turned. Next thing I know, Collie goes, "Dad, Micah's stuck." Guys, you don't get stuck in sand. You know what you get stuck in at a cell barn? A pile of poop that they've cleaned out all the pens. And I must have been having a good day because you know what I did? He just froze like he's being swallowed by the earth. Very stinky earth at the time. And, you know, I guess I was having a good day because I just walked over. He couldn't get out. And I picked him up. Got poop all over me. He didn't cry. He just knew he was helpless. And I picked him up, regardless of what he smelled like, what he looked like. And kids are kids. So those kids, runny noses, I don't know, filthy feet, dirty hair, lack of hygiene, whatever. But Jesus said, yeah, come on, bring them dirty. I don't care. Bring them dirty. And the disciples probably were beginning to wrap their mind around that. But there's another passage of scripture in Matthew where Jesus talks about the importance even of letting, okay, you let kids come to me, but you got to understand something. Don't mess with babies. Don't mess with my little kids. He told some guys one time, he said, you know, it would be easier and better for you if you were to harm a young believer. And again, he was bouncing off that conversation about kids. It'd be better that you just put a rock around your neck and throw yourself off into the sea. That's how emphatic Jesus was about loving children and loving kids. That's why at church, we never need to do anything to hinder kids. Never want to hinder the gospel. Thank God we've got a children's director in place. You know, the big tall girl, Kiona, that sniffs out impurities in the curriculum sometimes. You know, anybody can write a curriculum about smiley, happy, motivational topics, but not just anybody can really write a curriculum for a child to reach them for Christ. And thank God she's aware of that. Jesus said, let them come. All right, here's my last deal I want to share with you. And it's probably the most important. Well, it is, because this is what Jesus was getting at the entire time. So the people that were standing there were the parents, the disciples, the Pharisees, but just pretend we were standing there, just like today, in front of this line of kids. What would he want us to learn? What would he want us to take away? Number one, you ready? Three reasons Jesus said we all, and he would say this again in Matthew, we all need to become like little children. If you're going to find Christianity, if you're going to thrive in Christianity, you're going to have to become like a child. What was he talking about? Number one, as adults especially, we need to learn how to trust. Remember when, I don't know how you did it, our kids are all ranch raised, so it was usually off the back of a flatbed. You'd ask your kids to trust you. Just jump. Now, John, did you ever drop yours? Or okay. All right. Were you ever dropped? Okay. Mine is hay bales. You graduate from the flatbed to hay bales. Trust. One of my kids, when he was probably Quill's age, I could hold him in the palm of my hand. Oops, I gave away a hint. I could hold him in the palm of my hand. He would do straight legs, and I could just show him off to everybody. He's just standing there like this. Hello, I'm Sugar Baby. You know why he did that? Because he trusted me. He trusted me. Parents, I hope and grandparents, you're providing a safe place where kids can trust. But remember, now it's your turn. Now, I'm going to put you to the test, because everybody, oh, yeah, I trust the Lord. Okay. Brace for impact. Jesus said in Matthew 18, just a chapter back, therefore, whoever humbles himself like this child, this one is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven. You want to know if you're trusting? As an adult, here is how you know you're really, really trusting. How much time do you spend worrying? Ooh. And one of my brothers just said, ouch. The amount of time you spend worrying is pretty indicative of the fact that you're not trusting. We are not trusting. And listen, that's understand, that's my favorite sin. I love to worry in my flesh, on my worldly side. I create stuff to worry about. If you didn't speak to me this morning, didn't make eye contact with me, I'm going, why are they mad at me? You just wanted a donut. I know how some of y'all are. And think about your kids. Is Quill over there? He's in asleep? Well, wake him up and ask him if he's worried about gas prices. Okay. Is Rooster worried about his next meal? Nope. And what is so convicting about that is Jesus says in Matthew 6, therefore I tell you, don't worry about your life, what you're going to eat, what you're going to drink, about your body or what you wear. Life is more than food and food in the body, or isn't life more than food and the body and more than clothing? Consider the birds of the air. What do? Nothing. Fly around eating poop. And they're taken care of. That's what Jesus said. Therefore, verse 34, don't worry about tomorrow, because tomorrow will worry about itself. Good Lord, each day has enough trouble of its own. How much you're worrying might be an indicator of lack of faith. He said, you got to become like a child, because kids trust their parents, food, meals, protection. Second thing I think Jesus wants us to take away is we need to get humble. These kids were helpless, especially the babies. They were completely dependent. And you know what else? Most little kids have no problem asking for help. Most of them. They're hungry. They ask for food. You know, the little ones. Now, the 13-year-olds, you block the refrigerator. The 13-year-old was never in your budget. Food, meds, diapers, safety, they are completely dependent, humble enough. How do we know if we are humble like a child? Again, I can tell you. Here's the test. How much are you asking for help from the Lord? How many times are you asking daily for help? Physically, financially, relationally, are you asking for help? I know Peter would still be at the bottom of the pond. Remember when he thought he could walk on water? Well, he was. But then he got out there and goes, I'm not supposed to be out here. And he sunk. What was the first thing a grown man did? Save me. Jesus saved me. And he did. And I just want you to know, for you and I, Jesus had a half-brother. His name's James. His little brother. And he says, now, if you lack wisdom, just ask God, who gives to all generously, ungrudgingly, and it will be given to him. Again, James would say later, he said he gives greater grace when you understand the power of humility, because God resists the proud but gives grace to the humble, to the weak, to the needy, just like babies. And then one last thing, you ready? I need everybody to hear me on this. Because there's some believers out there today that you really messed up this last week or this last month. And you're just living in that mess up. There's some people out there that have never come to faith because you've got it in your brain. I don't know why you think this way. You've got it in your brain. You've got to get cleaned up. And you got to become a better person. You got to learn more about the Bible before you can come to Jesus. That's a lie. That's not the truth. Because Jesus would teach us in this story that everybody is important to God. You realize what the Pharisees thought when these kids ran up on Jesus? And I'm going to say some pretty terrible things. They probably thought this. Well, these little, dirty, illiterate, no tax paying, no earning, almost humans interrupted us. Jesus said, let them come. They had nothing, hear me, they had nothing to offer Jesus. And neither do we. Jesus wants our heart, and he'll take care of the habits. He'll take care of the hurts. Jesus wants your heart first. And that begins with a step in your head. Don't understand it, you just trust. Because we know that God so loved the world that he gave his one and only son, that whosoever believes in him will never perish, but will have eternal life. That's the kingdom. That's Christianity. I close today with a story. I've got a buddy of mine. He's pretty famous. He's back in the Central West Texas ranching now, but named Stoney. He has two twin boys and another kid, another boy. But when my kids were younger, we did a lot of horse stuff with him, bought several good horses from him. His kids were little bitty. And we went out there. I had the trailer, had to check. I was going to pick up a horse. And one of the twins was standing out there. And Stoney was telling me about this horse. And I noticed the kid was just listening. He's a little bitty. And he'd looked over at that horse. And he looked at his daddy, and he interrupted us. And he said, Dad, that's that bronc over there that wants to buck everybody off. Are you going to sell them that horse? And of course, we did buy the horse. But that's honesty, but man. That's just genuine, honest, through the eyes of a child. And today, I just hope that you and I can wake up every day as believers and go, God, I can't, but you can. I trust you. And I hope today, if you have never invited Christ into your life to forgive you and just change your life, that you'll become like that child. Let's pray. Father, we do, man, we love our kids. We love our babies. It's a tough world to raise them in. I know every generation says that, but I'm telling you, as a grandpa looking in, it gets tougher every generation. So I pray that you'll bless these families that are here, but I pray everyone will hear the words of Jesus and we will constantly have the faith, the humility, and the dependence of children. And the honesty. And Lord, again, if there's someone here that has never invited you into their life, two things I would encourage you to impress upon them, Lord. Number one, they can say a prayer from their seat. Number two, they can come down and talk to one of these prayer partners. Jesus, you did all the hard work on that cross. You're the only one that can get us square with the Father, the Creator, the great judge of all eternity. And I pray that if someone has never invited you in, that right now where they're sitting, they'll just say, Jesus, I'm a mess. I'm sorry. Please change me. Change my life and help me
move forward this day with you in my life. In Christ's name, amen.